All right. Back once again, off the back fence for the early edition of the week. We're going to do two this week, Coombsy. As always, I was listening down in Melbourne as Coombsy. Coombsy, we're the hottest gamblers alive. What happened over the weekend?
Mate, just lightning struck in a bottle. That's what happened.
Holy moly. I went perfect picking the spread on teams. I only missed out on over-unders by points or half a point. So, and you were unbelievable yourself, going 72%, bumping that overall average up. You're over halfway now.
Yeah, just told you, slowly but surely I'll win. And yeah, everyone who laughs at me for picking over odds and even tries, you know what? It came off every time this week.
Yeah, it did. It made me furious, but at the same time,
return is probably the greatest bet ever.
Yeah, like I worked it out. If everything was at $1.90 and I was betting 100 units, I would have been pretty well off over the weekend anyway. Hell of a round though, round eight. We've got a lot to dive into. We'll touch on the NFL draft too a bit later on the episode too. A lot happening in that first round last week, which is very fun. But round eight at the NRL obviously concluded on Sunday. So a bit to talk about. We'll kick off on Thursday evening. Canberra Raiders 20, South Sydney Rabbitohs 34. Rabbitohs covered and the over was hit. Not much doing in this game. Simply, I think the Raiders have just lost their way currently. I think Ricky had a bit of a whinge at the end of the game. Yeah, tends to be the way.
He's stuffing off his interchange.
I think he's
Ricky's Ricky's getting to his overstay problem. The Raiders, I think
there was talk obviously before the game if it was resting Papali or he's axing Papali. I think in that game he should have gone with him. He always produces against the Rabbitohs.
Yeah,
and straight like there's been more drama in the capital afterwards. There's been obviously I think Tarpanay's partner or girlfriend giving him a bit of a serve. Yeah, apparently today reports have come out George Williams has become incredibly homesick due to obviously the COVID restrictions not allowing him to go home. There's nothing's really going on for the Raiders at the moment. It's just not good going for the Canberra Raiders. The Rabbitohs are just flying at the moment, even without Latrell.
That left-hand edge, electric. They're going to miss Adam Reynolds for like 2 to 3 weeks now with the broken thumb.
On your Kevy
for shaking his hand and dropping a ton of cash in his hand. But so the Rabbitohs, we're going to see their future plan come out. Benji Marshall, Cody Walker is still very – they're just going to tear teams apart.
They really are. It's going to be very interesting coming up to Origin, which is only about a month or two away. Just there's going to be headaches across the field for both sides with the amount of talent that's producing at the moment. There wasn't too much else to this. Obviously, the Rabbits. Benji Marshall's just playing fantastic football at the moment. He's just winding the clock back, as we said last week. He played a full game this week at six. Just great. He created a great penalty at the end and called Jordan Rapana a few choice words. That was pretty good. But yeah, not too much else to say on this game. It was a bit of a nothing game. We moved to Friday, early game, the Melbourne Storm 40.
This was 40. A shithouse first half.
Yeah, Storm 40, the Sharks 14. Safe to say I didn't watch much of this game because I was at the Caxton having a few quiet lagers before the... This is where the conversation started, where you put on a few stray multis at the pub thinking, oh yeah, maybe if I load up and put maybe a dollar or two on this, I might come off. It wasn't the case. I'm pretty sure every bloke that I put for any time try scorer did not score.
Yeah, Justin Olam, you're in a bit of a drought.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to keep sticking with your boy.
No, I think it's just going to have to go one pass out now. Just Josh Adokar, he's starting to find the white line again.
Yes, he has.
And Remus Smith.
I should also mention Melbourne covered the 17.5 points, so they covered it three tries. The over was hit easily. Probably the big talking point, obviously, Will Chambers coming back to Melbourne, playing against his old side.
Played well.
Yeah, he still got it, I think. I think he's a good stop point for the Sharks.
Injury cover, definitely.
I think that's all it is, essentially. It's just to cover the injuries.
More reliable than Josh Dugan.
Yeah, but we always knew that Dugan's very brittle with his bones and whatnot. Like, he's a bloke that gets absolutely poleaxed. It looks like he's okay, but he might not be able to get up. It's just the strangest thing. Storm would be the Storm, though. I think Harry Grant starting was good. Obviously, I think they shifted Brandon Smith into the middle to give him a bit more go. Yeah, I think they've got
probably the best thing out of the game was Cam Munster is not a goal kicker.
That, I think, Welshie just giving it to him after the game. That was incredible.
Sad. For $1 million a year, you think you'd kick a ball. I have with AFL players.
The one that he missed from right in front is inexcusable.
I just don't know. The teapot arms.
You're not happy.
You don't know if he was taking the piss out of himself or not.
Yeah, you could say that he could definitely take the piss out of himself due to that, but it just reminded me of certain things. Like back at under 20s for Ben Hunt, he had a kick right in front of goal after a try. He kicked it underneath the crossbar. Like that, it happens. Happens to the best of them.
It looked like junior goal kicking, like when you first start goal kicking as a kid. when you're kicking from out of the touchline, you barely hit it to the halfway point.
It wasn't good. Obviously, if he kicked his goals, they would have put 50 on the Sharks, but is what it is. Now, the main event on Friday evening, I was at Suncorp. The Brisbane Broncos versus the Gold Coast Titans. Now, after 15 minutes, I'm going to say that I wasn't very happy to be there.
Oh, I was pretty close to packing it up and going to bed at that point.
But
my exact words were, if they score a try in 5 minutes time, I'm done.
But Brisbane Broncos 36, the Gold Coast Titans 22. Broncos covered the spread and won outright. Over was hit by halftime, essentially. It was at 44 points. 22 points down. Tries scored in the 2nd, 5th, 11th and 13th minute by the Gold Coast had them absolutely smoking the Broncos. The only issue is they didn't go up the middle after that, and that's where the Broncos came back. Hell of a fight back.
Tyson Gamble.
Keep him in the 7.
Yeah. That's what I think Joey and all that said, like, Intrust Super Cup, the Q Cup is still the best second grade comp in the country.
Oh, definitely. It's
like he goes, you just, like, when the Broncos were good, how good was what? Like, there was Origin players sitting playing Q Cup week in, week out.
Exactly. It's also shown with the Titans too. Like Jamal Fogarty sat in Q Cup for many years before he got his shot. He's flourishing. Like, he's flourishing. Like, he had a fantastic first 20 to 25 minutes and then obviously disappeared. Biggest talking point, though, the Titans' multi-million dollar signing in David Fifita are four grubbers, no real impact. Went very missing. And I was saying that to a mate I was with who's a massive Titans fan. He's a fringe runner, essentially. Like, you give it to the biggest guy on the field, he runs it with space.
He's got to get his hands on the ball more.
Yeah. That's the thing. He has to get involved more, and that's down to the halves too. That's Ash Taylor. That's Jamal Fogarty. It is. It's all that.
Yeah.
Don't take anything away from our Broncos, mate, though. Holy shit. What an effort.
How good was that? That was good to watch.
Yeah, it was. And we were sitting up in the sitting in the rafters, and that try from the try set up from Asako off the bomb where he just broke ankles, set up to Xavier's coach to run away was just incredible.
That was razzle dazzle Broncos of the early 2000s and 90s.
Yeah, it was. Fantastic from Tyson Gamble. Milford was great. He didn't have the pressure on him. Like, Gamble really grabbed it by the knuckles essentially and just went for it. But yeah, we got the Cows this week, so we'll do that.
Not
as far away as Darwin or Sydney.
But are we playing in the white jersey?
I don't know.
We've got to throw that jersey out. My side of change.org petition. Broncos not to wear white ever again.
No. Don't waste your time. Moving to the Saturday slate. Penrith Panthers 28. The Manly Seagulls 16 at Bathurst at Carrington Park. Eagles covered the 14.5 spread. Over was hit just by half a point. Panthers were good, not great, but good. Seagulls kept it quite close most of the game, which was really good. Yeah, the Seagulls, though, they're nothing without Turbo. He's been really good for them since he's come back from his hammy injury.
He's kind of got a point to prove, really, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the thing. He's up there with Cherry Evans in most of where their salary is going this year.
It depends on where you ask. Cherry Evans will be next year too at the moment, but that's for another time.
Yeah, I don't think we can jump into that discussion because I have no idea what the contract situation is, how many years he's got left on
it. He's got 1 year left.
Is it 1 year?
Yeah.
See, I just don't know. I don't think any club can onboard that kind
unless
of cost.
Unless Manly just take a hemorrhage for a year.
Oh, they'd have to. Like, that's the only way they'd offload the contract is they'd take a bit of freight off it. Toho, once again, unbelievable for the Panthers. He just led the meters charge. There's massive, massive talks of him playing Origin this year, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
I hope he is because they put him against Xavier Coates or one of the tall wingers.
Yeah.
But it'd be Lob City. It'd be the LA Clippers version of Lob City.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'll move to the middle game. Bulldogs 10, the Parramatta Eels 32 at Stadium Australia. Eels covered the 19.5. The over was hit. Oh, no, it wasn't hit.
Oh.
It was at 43.5. It hit 42. My apologies. Eels were great again. Madison coming back was good. He had a solid game back. I just don't know what to do with the Dogs. This is a team that played unbelievably against the Sharks a week before and then just went to water again. I just don't know where to start with Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, mate.
Yeah, it's just... Oh, it'd be painful being a Bulldogs fan.
Yeah, it'd be up there. Like, They've got to stop signing backs. Like, they signed Brent Naden during the week. What's he going to play?
Yeah.
Like, they've got backs at the wazoo. They need a bit of leadership. Like, I know Josh Jackson's a fantastic footballer at club level, but
he's on his last legs.
Yeah, it's the same. I think, yeah, it's no good. Like, they got a lot of young fellas in the forward pack. They haven't really got a hooker. Like, Leash is there. Jeremy Marshall-King's there, but it's nothing like crash hot.
Leash's not there anymore.
Isn't he?
No, because remember the old sex thing?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I thought I was still there.
Oh, I just think the Dogs, like, they're paying. Oh, this is a very good lesson for Manly not to let Des Hasler hand out contracts.
No. Like, he was the king of the back end of deal, wasn't he?
Yeah. Manly are paying now. I think the Bulldogs are still paying Aaron Woods' contract in a way.
Right. Yeah, that probably doesn't surprise me, to be fair. They don't need to offload him, but they probably need someone like an Aaron Woods currently for what he is.
Yeah.
Parramatta, yeah, fantastic once again. Like, Sivo scoring tries. Even Tom Opacek's having a fantastic season by his standard in the centres. He's come really well.
He's taking his chance to actually secure lockdown and long-term position in first grade.
It's the same for Nakore too, moving from the bench to centre. He's probably going to put, was it Fare or whoever is the centre there out of a job essentially because he's just been that solid. But yeah, Parramatta keeps rolling. They're still at the top of the table there. Last game on Saturday night. Now, this bit of a bittersweet one. The Knights 4, Sydney City Roosters 38. Roosters cover the 6th spread. It was over by half a point. Yeah. I think we're going to talk about Sam Walker for a fair bit, but I think the biggest talking point was obviously the big injuries out of the Chooks camp. Lindsay Collins and Brett Morris, both with torn ACLs. The Brett Morris one was very tough to stomach.
Yeah.
Watching that live was just not pleasant at all. Like, the field mic still being on while he was screaming in agony was a lot to handle. At the time, there was a lot of chatter about why a Medicab wasn't requested or wasn't brought out, but it was apparently on Brett Morris's own power that he wanted to walk off the field.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so... You see afterwards, obviously, Josh Morris hugging him in the sheds. Like, it was just lingered a lot longer than it should have been. Yeah. I think it needed to be a little bit more private than that. He was obviously that distressed.
The picture of the Roosters all crowded around, quite touching, actually. Like, they're all sitting around. Like, Lindsay Collins was nowhere to be seen in this picture, but Brent Morris is still front and center after the post-match chat, which, as we've said, like, those two are the greatest teammates any team, any player would love to have.
Oh, definitely. Like, they've been absolute staples since they came into the league with the Dragons so long ago. It's just, yeah, like, Josh ended up scoring a hat-trick in this game. But, yeah, just knowing that Brett Morris, that could essentially be Brett Morris's last game in first grade is just really heartbreaking. I think there's already chatter, like, it'd be a good thing to have a testimonial, the Chooks versus the Dragons, even though they do Anzac Day, like, a testimonial pre-season would be fantastic to represent both of them because they've meant so much to both clubs. Some of the positive news for the Chooks, obviously, is Sam Walker. I think he broke the record for most try assists in a game by a single player at the Chooks, which five. Some ESPN bullshit came out today saying he's got the most try assists per average, minimum five games. He's only played five games, but bloke's a star. Nothing can be solved without a cutout pass or a kick. So he's playing some good football at the moment.
Floating cutout pass.
The Harbour Bridge special.
Yeah.
But he's been great for them.
Brought into the Queensland squad just as a training player this year, which is good.
You'd hope so. You'd really hope so for his development. Obviously, it's early days for that, but the Roosters were fantastic. Even without Tedesco, they were just firing. Like, Joey Manu at the back was great. Most of the game was played really well.
Do we get to see Sawali this week?
There is talk. I think we'll touch on that on the next episode later this week. I think teamless with obviously Morris out, they're going to have to reshuffle. It could lead to Suwali's much anticipated debut for the Chooks. On the other side of it, though, Newcastle are just dreadful. Like, you just don't know. It's the same as the Bulldogs in a sense, where you just don't know where to begin with them. Like Pong is obviously their key, but without Mitchell Pearce, they're directing the side. No, they had the go at him playing six. It lasted three games. It didn't work.
They had the stat that, like, Blake, he had more touches in the defensive half than Blake Green had. And Blake Green had nearly, I think, 10 or so more touches than he did in the offensive half, which I think that should be the opposite way around with that team running.
Yeah, I think so too. I just don't know where to put it because obviously the Connor Watson playing 13 seems to be working in the current scheme of things. Brayley's been fantastic at the nine. But yeah, just like some days they're world beaters, the next they're just absolutely spuds. You just can't get a read on Newcastle at all currently. Yeah. And a big win by the Chooks despite the injury. So it'd be interesting to see how they go for the rest of the season with obviously Keary's out for the rest of the year. Brett Morris is out for the rest of the year. Lindsay Collins, who'd be pushing for Origin again this year, he's gone. Yeah, it's going to be real, really interesting on how the Chooks really go with the very inexperienced halves and obviously the more pressure on Tedesco to perform. Sunday slate. We had a couple of cracking games. New Zealand Warriors 24, North Queensland Cowboys 20. Warriors covered the 3.5 spread. Under was hit by half a point. God, those last couple of minutes were very, very tough watching for me, knowing the fact that I had that.
Right. This is where my tippy went downhill from here on.
Yeah, well, like, compared to the rest of the round, yes, that's correct. But, like, it is what it is. Like, you picked Jason Tamalolo in his return game to score a try. Like, I think that was a bit much.
I was just reaching for the stars there. He nearly got sight. Did he get reported?
I don't know. I didn't see much of that.
I had on ABC Grandstand the real way to enjoy your footy.
Yes. Not so Triple M.
I don't mind Triple M, but it's just I like ABC Grandstand.
Yeah.
I heard he did a fend, and his fend caught the contact with the head of the Warriors player. But Reece Walsh had a good game.
Yeah, another one that Broncos have lost, apparently. Like, that news is getting worse and worse. But, yeah, he was fantastic for the – he was great. He doesn't look like a footballer off the field, but Christ almighty, he can play some good football. He chances his arm.
He's quick off the mark. He's very Cameron Munster with the dead stop acceleration.
Yeah. like that first half from the Warriors, I think they were up. I think they were up by 22 going into half.
But yeah, so like Reece Walsh was you could see him becoming a Cam Munster type player in the future. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is going to go down as New Zealand's best rugby league player.
Oh, that's a big call. That's a very big call.
He's very good.
I think there's been more influential. He could probably be most talented, I think.
Most talented, yeah.
I'll give him the most talented. Influential, probably not as much because he hasn't played his whole career.
Yeah.
Stacey Jones.
I'll go Ruben Wiki.
Cowboys, they did come back in the second half, showed a bit of fight, which was good. Left edge was actually really, really good. Mm. Yeah, but another loss for the Cowboys. We're breathing down their necks. They're on three. Like, it's amazing how the Titans are on three wins. Cows are on three wins. We're on two coming with after the Cowboys
Original Queensland Derby this weekend.
Yeah, that stupid fucking trophy. I'm really annoyed at that.
The 4X Cup.
4X Derby. Fucking throw it out. We'll finish up anyway. Last game of the round out at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. St. George Illawarra Dragons 8, the West Tigers 16.
This was an awful game.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. That's probably why I didn't watch it. I watched the mini a bit later. West Tigers covered the 10-point spread. Under was easily met. Name me a better duo than young fellas on debut and wild units in the crowd.
Oh.
Fantastic. Blokes with their shirts off. It was incredible.
Wow. The best footage is the local Wollongong man in his red big jumper, fucking giving it to Adam Dewey.
Yes. There was a lot of everyone
saying, he said he'd kick it right. I think he said, you're going to... I think there was some language that I use in my day-to-day life being said to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like the field mics would have choice times to shut off. Didn't matter anyway. Dragons
delays handy.
Yeah, very, very handy. Also, Sini, dead set... ringer for Tiger King. Joe Exotic.
I love the I've got a love hate relationship with mullets. If you're a professional sportsman, you're allowed to have one.
Oh no.
But if you're a day-to-day person, mainly talking about these kids, the rich kids of Toorak, to go to the schools of Toorak, your shit mullet doesn't count. You're no one.
But yeah, Tigers played a fantastic game to come back. You're right. It was a bit of a bludger. West came back in the end. Dragons were up 8-0 and then they just went for it. So we'll leave it at that. But yeah, 14 of 16 for me. I covered every team spread. I missed an over or under by a point and a half or less. You went 16 of 22. So bounce back after a very horrible round 7. Back up to 60%. You're right up there at 52% overall for the year, mate. We could honestly do that. We could do tips professionally, essentially.
Oh God, how good would that be?
It would pay the bills. Anyway, round 9, we'll probably cover that later in the week. Other news over the weekend, NFL draft. A lot happening with the NFL draft over the weekend. Obviously, there wasn't any surprises who went number 1 and 2. Touchdown.
Number 3 was a surprise.
Number 3 definitely was a surprise. I remember showing you that. So if anybody didn't catch the first 5 picks, Trevor Lawrence, obviously the number 1 pick going to the Jags. The comment apparently is going to change the dynamic of the franchise and they'll win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years.
Did you hear about the guy who put $29,000 on Trevor Lawrence to be number 1 draft? And guess what he wins back in return? $59.63.
That seems just like, imagine if Zach Wilson went 1.
Oh, you just putting that stupid amount of money on. You deserve to lose. Just $29 to win $59.
Yeah, I suppose. But that bloke has more money than us, so he must know something.
I think it'd have to be like a family member or something.
Surely. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, number 1 pick. Zach Wilson from BYU went to the Jets. Now, this was the most contentious pick. There was a lot of chatter from the San Francisco 49ers going up in the draft to pick a QB. But it was not the wrong QB, but a different QB. They've gone with Trey Lance from North Dakota. I think he only played like 1 or 2 games in college.
He played one game.
Incredible. It's like there was a lot of chatter from Mac Jones from Alabama. Mac Jones sliding down the draft list. Atlanta picked up a tight end, the highest draft pick for a tight end in history, Kyle Pitts from Florida, and the fifth pick was Ja'Marr Chase. He's linking back up with Joe Burrow at Cincinnati. Other notable ones, like my team, obviously the Broncos. We picked up a cornerback from Alabama, which I'm pretty happy about. Your feelings on Mac Jones?
Mac Jones is a tribute to the rapper Mac Jones. Mac Jones. It's pretty happy. Like, it's a very big step for the Patriots. Like, they had 20 years of stability under center. So, it's just.
I think, It's a good. I think it's a good pick for you guys. I think you've got Cam Newton there. You've got Mac Jones, who's he won a national championship with Bama. I think it's not too bad. And the comparison side by side of Tom Brady and him with their shirts off is just fantastic.
Yeah.
There was a bit of congestion from picks 10 through to 13. A lot of trade movement. Obviously, the Eagles traded up to get Devonta Smith. Jaden Waddle, that was an all-time draft move by just getting selected and just walking away from his family, not celebrating. I don't know if you saw that.
The pick the Browns sent out. The guy sitting on his couch by himself.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's like one of the fourth or fifth rounders, and he's just sitting on the couch by himself.
Oh, really?
Probably the shithousery of the draft would be the Tampa Bay Bucks not giving their first round pick a hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wowee.
I think probably the highlight of the draft has been all the office memes.
Yeah, all the different.
They're all been very good. And then I think the best one I said was the one I said to you today, the assistant to the head coach for Matt Patricia being back
Bears,
at the Patriots.
Bears beats him back to the Patriots on Matt Patricia. Yeah, that was funny. It's amazing how, like, Josh McDaniels left, he came back to New England. Patricia's gone to Detroit, he's come back. One thing I am looking forward to is the Chicago Bears having a QB now. Justin Fields got picked at 11. That was huge for them. They've never had a QB as dynamic as him who could run and throw the ball like they have. So I think that's going to be a very, very interesting thing going forward, is what it is. Wasn't too much else. I don't know for myself being uneducated, but there's a lot of chatter of why running backs were getting taken early when they can definitely be picked up later in the draft.
Yeah.
I think
they go for the insurance possible. You can't really fuck up a defensive lineman, an edge rusher, or a O-line because they tend to grow into the position.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's correct. Whereas, like, when you're picking a QB, like, five QBs in the top 10, then you had Fields
eight
at 11. The first two rounds, I think it was. I think it was like Kyle Trask went to 64 to the Bucs, who's going to have a fantastic mentor at Brady. I think Kellen Mond, he was at the start of round two to also. Yeah, I don't know. It's like if you're drafting a QB that high up, obviously he's going to be the man. Trevor Lawrence, old touchdown Jesus, he's going to be big for the Jags. I think, the Jaguars, they picked the running back in the same. They went Etienne from Clemson, so there's got the Clemson connection right there straight off the bat for, Trevor Lawrence. But, yeah, interesting. I always love draft day. It's always interesting to see. Goodell did get booed, which is fantastic, but he also had his chair from when he was in his basement last year on stage. That was funny.
He's cringeworthy as a man to watch. He's the life like Michael Scott.
Yeah, he tries very, very hard, I feel.
If anyone that hasn't watched The Office, just watch three or four episodes, Steve Carell as the main character. That is what Roger Goodell is. He tries to be everyone's best friend, but no one likes it.
Tends to be the way. AFL, you told me that we did really poorly this round.
I know I did poorly because I tipped... Let's go through the round. To start off was Friday night where I tipped the Doggies to beat the Tigers. that was egg on my face there.
Yeah, I think I went Tigers.
Yep. Collingwood over the – I think I picked Collingwood over the Suns. Suns won Suns there. There's all type of shit now hitting the fan at Collingwood.
Are we beat Powered Adelaide. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I picked that. GWS beating the Crows in Adelaide Oval.
Not just beating them, pantsing them. Like, that's that's 67-point win.
Yeah. Saints pantsing the Hawks at Marvel. Lions pantsing would have been even bigger if the Lions still could learn how to kick straight.
Is that yeah?
It's still a thing. The Swans sneaking past by two against the Cats.
Now, was there some controversy about the Cats not getting a mark paid?
Oh, mate, that's just karma. Let's call footy karma.
Okay, cool. No, I thought I read somewhere and I was like, wait, that happened to us in this earlier round. Yeah. I think that's karma.
Yeah. The Melbourne D's having a win against the Kangaroos went toe to toe with them for most of the game until the D's kicked away.
They were up at half time. The D's are now
8-0, 8-0, and my little 5-year-old my fiance's 5-year-old cousin is already planning his day in September. I don't want to be the man to tell him that. I don't want to see a 5-year-old have his heart broken because it's not fair. You don't need to learn that early in life. Disappointment.
No, you don't.
Next thing will be the old Christmas problem, and you can't do that to a kid.
No, you really can't. The fact that you had to save yourself saying your 5-year-old girlfriend was pretty funny.
And then we got Carlton beating the Bombers at the G.
Yeah.
And then West Coast giving it to the Dockers in an empty Optus stadium, where the funniest thing was the West Coast players having to wear masks to sing the team song after the game.
It's such a weird world at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we got like that was an absolute like upsets galore in the AFL all round. Like I honestly thought like the Western Bulldogs would have been a bit closer. Like 22 points is obviously not like less than 4 goals, but still, I thought you expected a bit more of a tighter game for that.
Yeah.
Lines rolling, baby. That's all that matters.
Yep.
We're top good to
four.
Go.
I'm not in the top 4. In the top 8. Looking tidy, sitting at 7, just below Richmond. Big game this weekend. Grand final replay. We'll cover that on Wednesday night, Thursday's pod. So, yeah, good news out of that.
That's it. Any
soccer news this week was Inter Milan finally breaking Juventus's 9 straight year record of winning the Scudetto in the Serie A.
Ooh.
United fans.
Yes.
Shit and ruining. Like one of the favorite games I have to watch it. I don't even know when we'll get to watch it now.
No, it probably won't happen now.
They should lose their points for that. That's fucking disgraceful.
Man, I don't care.
We've a man who needs points.
Yeah, you didn't drop points this weekend, but the mighty Spurs got a win, so therefore they're breathing down the necks of Chelsea. But I can't see us making Champions League.
The
United protest was incredible.
That was like, fun.
I was watching like
and then clips. Gary Neville. I don't blame him for doing it.
Yeah, well, he really does not like United at the moment.
Oh no, he really doesn't like the Glazier. So the class of 92 bought another club. So the class of 92, if no one knows, is Giggs, Beckham, the Neville brothers, Nicky Butt, and Scholes.
Yeah,
they were the graduates from the Academy.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they had enough money, I think they'd try to buy United.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Arsenal's been trying
to buy.
Sorry?
Conor McGregor put an expression in interest to buy in.
I think anybody with money was putting in offers to buy anything. Like, I think the founder of Spotify, he was trying to get in with, I think, Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira.
I think that's more likely than any other one.
I don't know, because the Kroenke family are quite stubborn. Like Arsenal fans are like caught, like it's the similar levels of when they want a Wenger out, but this is like really bad. So
yeah,
not much out. Like it's funny. There's a guy in America, Jay Glazer. If anybody doesn't know him, he does a lot for the NFL on Fox. Does a fair bit for the military vets over there also. He keeps getting tweeted at and he's like, I'd like to make myself clear, I'm not a part of this family that owns a fucking soccer club. I laughed so hard. I felt so sorry for him. But it's the same as like any other Twitter account, like the Stephen Smith account. They get, he got roasted, this poor bloke who's never touched a cricket ball in his life after the sand gate, after the sandpaper gate.
Imagine Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, jeez. So good. Anyway, mate, we might wrap it up for this episode. Quick fire round just to wrap up the last weekend of action. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll be back a Thursday for round, holy crap, nine. We're a third of the way through the season. 2 weeks away from Magic Round. So we'll touch on round nine this week on both NRL AFL on Thursday's episode. Anything else that's been trending? Oh, other news, obviously, we forgot. Dave Donaghy started as CEO for Brisbane on the May 1st. Broke out of Rattle's hand. That was good. But we'll touch a bit more on that. I think we'll yarn a bit more on that on Thursday's episode.
Telling everyone to fuck off, get out of our backyard.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would like to keep a few of our stars.
Yeah. But we'll touch about that on Thursday night when probably more information comes in.
Yeah, I think there's a lot happening at the moment. We'd like to hopefully get a few more facts. But until Thursday, say goodbye, Coomsie.
See you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks again, guys. We'll see you later in the week.